lying is a sin. And believing a lie can also lead to some serious consequences, especially when we believe a lie in the realm of religion. Today, Don Blackwell is going to look at a lesson from the Old Testament where a young prophet believed an old prophet, even though the old prophet was not telling him the truth. There were consequences. This is a very important study. We hope you'll stay tuned as Don Blackwell brings us this important lesson from God's Word.
Our lesson today deals with an incident that took place between two prophets during the rule of King Rehoboam in the southern kingdom of Judah and King Jeroboam in the northern kingdom of Israel. I invite you to open your Bibles today to 1 Kings chapter 13. That's going to be the text from where we're going to study today. And while you're turning there, I'm going to give you a little bit of background to help set the stage for today's lesson. Rehoboam, you may remember, was the son of Solomon. And upon Solomon's death, Rehoboam became the new king over the nation of Israel. And immediately he faces his first situation as king, because the people of Israel came to Rehoboam and they said, "We want you to lighten our burdens. Your father was too tough on us." Well, Rehoboam sought the counsel of the older men and also the counsel of the younger men. The older men told him to give in to the request of the people. The younger men told him to increase the people's burden. Essentially, they had the idea, you show them who is boss. Well, Rehoboam followed the advice of the younger men. Chapter 12 and verse 14 says, "My father made your yoke heavy, and I will add to your yoke. My father also chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions." In other words, he said, it's going to be worse with me than it was with my father. I'll show you who's in control. That was the attitude that he took by following the advice of the younger men. And consequently, the people revolted against him, and they ended the United Kingdom of Israel. And so, 10 of the tribes broke off, and they chose their own king, a man named Jeroboam. And so, now there are two separate kingdoms in the nation of Israel. You've got Israel in the north with Jeroboam as their king, and Judah in the south with King Rehoboam. And very quickly, Jeroboam realizes that there's a problem. He sees he has a problem on his hands because he knew that two separate kingdoms could not remain two separate kingdoms while they were sharing the same religion and the same sanctuary and the same priesthood. And the temple and the center of the Jewish religion was in Jerusalem, in the southern kingdom. 1 Kings 12:27 says, "Jeroboam said to himself, 'If this people go up to do sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then shall the heart of this people turn again unto their Lord, even unto Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they shall kill me and go again to Rehoboam, king of Judah.'" In other words, Jeroboam began to think about this, and he said, if the people in my kingdom start going down to the southern kingdom to worship, and they're going to have to because that's the only place for them to worship, he said, then they're going to start following the king of the southern kingdom. And if that happens, they're going to turn and kill me. And so Jeroboam does something unthinkable. He just disregards the true religion of God, and he creates a new religion for the 10 tribes of the northern kingdom. And he made two golden calves for the people to worship. And he put one in Dan and one in Bethel. And he told the people, he said, "These are your gods which brought you out of the land of Egypt." And he ordained priests to serve in this new religion, priests who were not from the tribe of Levi, as the Lord required under his system. And he ordained a feast day at a time that, verse 33 says, which he had devised of his own heart. In other words, not according to anything that the Lord had given them. When we come to chapter 13, Jeroboam is about to offer a sacrifice upon his new altar. And God sends a young prophet to prophesy against it. Now, I want to begin reading here in 1 Kings chapter 13 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "And behold, there came a man of God out of Judah, by the word of the Lord unto Bethel. And Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. And he cried against the altar in the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name. And upon thee shall he offer the priest of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. The young prophet foretold that a good king was going to be born at some point in the future, and that he would put an end to this foolishness that Jeroboam has created. And he called that king by name. He said his name would be Josiah. Now in 2 Kings chapter 23, verses 15 through 20, years later, it happened exactly as he foretold that it would. Well, after giving this message, the young prophet offered a miracle to confirm that his message was from God. And the altar was rent and the ashes poured out. But rather than repenting, Jeroboam, he's a hard man here, rather than repenting, Jeroboam put his hand forth and demanded that the young prophet be captured. As a result, the Bible says that his hand dried up so that he could not pull it in again. Jeroboam then asked the prophet to pray to entreat God on his behalf so that his hand would be restored. He had a change of heart after this punishment was put upon him. Verse 6 says, And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored him again, and it became as it was before. Now, verse 7, And the king said unto the man of God, Come home with me, and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. Now, this is where the lesson today really begins. The first thing that I want for us to notice is going to deal with the divine direction. There are going to be 4 points in today's lesson. The first one is the divine directions. The second one is the deception. The third one is the deviation. And then the fourth one is the destruction. All of our points today beginning with the letter D. Point number one in the lesson today deals with the divine directions. I want us to look at verse number 9 for this point. Because in verse 7, the king requests that this young prophet go home with him. He says, Come back and let me give you a reward for what you've done. You've restored my hand. Come home with me. Verse 8, the young man of God says, If thou wilt give me half thine house, I will not go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. You see, what he's saying is, I don't care what you say. I'm not going home with you. You can give me half of your possessions, and I'm not going to go home with you. Verse 9, these are the divine directions. The Bible says, For so it was charged me by the word of the Lord. He said, The reason I can't do this is because God said so. God charged me, saying, Eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest. The young prophet said this. He said, I have been given specific instructions by God, King Jeroboam, and it doesn't matter what you say or what you offer, I have got to follow God's commandments. You know, we would do well to learn a lesson here. We would do well to follow the advice of this young man, this young prophet, because we too have been given specific instructions by the Lord. And we have to follow those directions precisely. We need to follow them like Joshua commanded Israel when he said, Turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left in Joshua 23:6. We cannot add to, nor can we take away from the Word of God. Revelation 22:18-19 discusses this. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life. And you have to admire the dedication of this young prophet who told the king, remember, he's talking to the king, and he said to him, I don't care what you say, I'm going to do what the Lord says. Verse 10, the Bible says, So he went another way, and he returned not by the way that he came to Bethel. Now, you know, if the divine narrative stopped right here, we would have an example of a prophet who would be remembered for his courage and for his sterling character. A man who was not afraid of the king's wrath. A man who took so seriously the commandment of God that he did not give in to flattery. He did not give in to gold. He did not give in to intimidation. But you see, the story doesn't end there. The story continues. Verse 11. Now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel, the words which he had spoken unto the king. Them they told also to their father. Verse 12. And their father said unto them, what way went he? Where'd he go? For his sons had seen what way the man of God went, which came from Judah. And he said unto his sons, saddle me the donkey. So they saddled him the donkey, and he rode thereon, and went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak. And he said unto him, art thou the man of God that came from Judah? Then he said, I am. Then he said unto him, come home with me and eat bread. And he said, I may not return with thee. The same thing he told the king. The Lord said, I can't do this. I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee. Neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place. Now here's the reason. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, thou shalt eat no bread nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest. Friends, we have to appreciate, here is the man of God who stood up to the king and said, I can't do this. Then another prophet comes to him and says, well, come and eat with me. And he says, I can't do it. And the reason is, God told me not to. Now, here's the second point in our lesson, and it deals with the deception. First, the divine directions. Secondly, the deception. Here's verse 18. He said unto him, I am a prophet, also as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But listen to this. The text says, but he lied unto him. You know, the words of this prophet, they have a sound. They ring with a familiarity of false teachers still today. False teachers today will say, an angel told me this. Or the Lord spoke to me in a dream. Or the Lord laid this on my heart. Or I've seen a 90-foot Jesus. Or blood or tears streaming from some statue or painting or something like this. The old prophet said, an angel spoke to me. But the text says, but he lied unto him. You know, the lie has a long time been a favorite tool of the devil. John 8:44 calls Satan the father of lies. Revelation 12:9 refers to him as that old serpent which deceives the whole world. Ephesians 6:11 refers to the wiles of the devil. The word wiles means trickery. And that's one thing about the devil. He doesn't play fair. He will lie. He will cheat you in a skinny second. And so Peter warns us to be sober and to be vigilant. In other words, be on your guard. Be watchful for this evil one. And what's really interesting about Satan is that he oftentimes comes disguised as one who's innocent and trustworthy. And that's why Jesus warns us, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves, Matthew 7:15. 2 Corinthians 11:14, Paul tells us that Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Verse 15, his ministers fashion themselves as ministers of righteousness. The servants of Satan disguise themselves as someone righteous. Well, here in 1 Kings 13, the lie, the deception, comes from another prophet. Notice his words in verse 18. He says, I am a prophet, also as thou art. In other words, he's saying, come on, you can trust me. I'm a prophet. And so we have men today who say very similar things, who claim to be preachers of the gospel, who are spreading lies in the name of truth. Well, what are some of the lies that are being spread? I had a lengthy conversation on the phone one day with a man who was a Pentecostal preacher who rejected what Jesus said in Mark 16:15 and 16, where the Lord said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He said, we don't need to be so legalistic. We need to look at the broad picture and understand the love of God and submit to the spirit of the law. But friends, you know, in Matthew 23:23, Jesus said to some of the biggest legalists who ever lived, He said, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith." Exactly what this man was saying. He said, we need to look at the big things. Don't worry about the little things. But Jesus goes on to say, these ought you to have done and not left the others undone. Friends, sure, it's wrong to ignore the spirit of the law, but that doesn't mean that we're to disregard the specifics. And that's what the Lord was saying. You don't disregard the specifics. You have to obey God. This man told me that baptism was not necessary, but he lied unto me. And you know, it's a sad thing that 2 Thessalonians 2:12 indicates, that there will be many people who will be lost because they believed a lie. Now, what are some other lies of the devil? I tell you, one very popular lie is, "I have plenty of time." The devil wants you to believe that. "I've got plenty of time. I'm young. I'll make my life right at some point. I've got years ahead of me. I've got plenty of time." Many people have died and passed on into eternity, believing that they had plenty of time. Friends, a very popular lie of the devil today is that one church is just as good as another. He wants men to believe that, because if they will believe that one church is just as good as another, Satan has had a great victory, because they'll stop looking for the true church of the Bible. They will stop looking for the church that Jesus purchased with His blood. And if they're not a part of that church, they'll be lost for all eternity. And the devil will have accomplished his goal. Another lie of the devil: "All I have to do is show up at worship services and everything will be okay." A lot of people believe that. The devil has really done some good convincing to make people think that as long as I show up, that's all I've got to do. And so you have some people who are even members of the Lord's church who just show up, but the rest of the time they don't serve the Lord. But you see, they've been convinced in their mind somehow, some of them at least, that that's going to be okay. Here's another. The devil has convinced some people, "Sunday night's not that important. Just come on Sunday morning. That's all you need to do. Don't worry about it." You see, partial obedience is never acceptable to the Lord. And so, if I say I'm going to serve the Lord part of the time, but the rest of the time I'm going to do what I want, the devil has gotten me. You know, I can almost hear the prophet speak, "Come back to my house and eat and drink, and don't worry about worship. The Lord isn't going to care." But he lied. Here's our third point, the deviation. Verse number 19. "So he went back with him, and he did eat bread in his house, and he drank water." Oh, how many people have fallen away based on a lie? You know, the Lord's directions were plain. They were explicit. "Eat no bread, drink nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest." But he deviated from the directions. Verse 19 says, "He went back with him, and he did eat bread in his house." Now verse 20 says, "And it came to pass, as they sat at the table, that the word of the Lord came unto the prophet that brought him back, and he cried unto the man of God that came from Judah, saying, Thus saith the Lord, forasmuch as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord, and hast not kept the commandment which the Lord thy God commanded thee, but camest back, and hast eaten and drunk water in the place of which the Lord did say to thee, Eat no bread and drink no water, thy carcass shall not come unto the sepulchre of thy fathers. And it came to pass, after he had eaten bread, and after he had drunk, that he saddled for him the donkey, to wit, for the prophet whom he had brought back." Now I want you to listen to this, the last point. This is the destruction. He had the deviation. The Lord was very clear with His instructions. God told him, "This is the way you're to go." But he did not do it. Now that leads to point number 4, and that is the destruction. Verse 24. The text says, "And when he was gone, a lion met him in the way and slew him, and his carcass was cast in the way, and the donkey stood by it. The lion also stood by the carcass." Friends, Don't you think that it's interesting that God chose to punish the man with a lion? I think it's very ironic because in the New Testament, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8 says that your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. And think about that. How was the man fooled? With a lie? Satan is the father of the lie. He was killed by a lion. The devil, as a roaring lion, is seeking whom he may devour. This man of God had divine directions, but he was deceived, and he deviated from those directions, and he was destroyed. I want you to appreciate with me that it did not matter that he truly believed the lie. And I think the text would indicate that he did when the other man said to him, "But I also am a prophet. You can trust me. I'm a prophet just like you are." I've got the idea the man truly believed it. Now, why do I say that? Because he had conviction. He stood before the king and he told the king, "I cannot do this because God said not to do it." Then when the prophet came to him and said, "Come back with me," he said, "I cannot do it. The Lord said not to do this." But then when the older prophet said, "But I'm also a prophet, and an angel came to me and said this is okay," evidently he was convinced and he truly believed it. Friends, there is a lesson for us that is so very important there. And that is, we have to believe what God said in His Word, not what some so-called prophet or preacher or pastor or modern-day evangelist may say. We've got to take what God said. If that younger prophet had simply listened to what the Lord had said and taken that only, everything would have been okay. You see, it didn't matter that he truly believed a lie. It also did not matter that he was sincere. And apparently, he was. You see, what mattered was that he deviated from the instructions of the Lord, and the result was destruction. Friends and brethren, let's learn the lesson. You know, many people today are rapidly departing from the divine directions of God's Word, the Bible, that is. They are going in directions that are foreign to the New Testament. And the order of the day seems to be whatever attracts the most people. You know, some churches are moving into new communities and they will send out surveys asking people, "What would you like to see?" And so it's become very popular to have churches with maybe a latte bar and music, and people just come in casual clothing, and basically it becomes a party, and it entertains people to give them what they want. They're trying to see what attracts people. Many congregations, even of the Lord's Church, are beginning to look more like a denomination than the church of the New Testament. And many people are believing a lie. And they'll say to you, "These are our elders. They wouldn't lie to us." Even in the Lord's Church, congregations are going astray and the elders are leading them that way. And if you point it out to them, they'll say, "These are our elders. They wouldn't lie to us." Neither did the young prophet think the old prophet would lie to him. But you know, he found out when it was too late. Verse 25, "And behold, men passed by and saw the carcass cast in the way and the lion standing by the carcass. And they came and they told it in the city where the old prophet dwelt. And when the prophet that brought him back from the way heard thereof, he said, 'It is the man of God who was disobedient unto the word of the Lord. Therefore the Lord hath delivered him unto the lion, which hath torn him and slain him, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake unto him.'" Verse 27 says, "And he spake to his son, saying, 'Saddle me the donkey.' And they saddled him. And he went and found his carcass cast in the way, and the donkey and the lion standing by the carcass. The lion had not eaten the carcass, nor torn the donkey. And the prophet took up the carcass of the man of God and laid it upon the donkey and brought it back. And the old prophet came to the city to mourn and to bury him. And he laid his carcass in his own grave. And they mourned over him, saying, 'Alas, my brother.'" You know, today this is a highly relevant sermon because every point applies to us. We still have divine directions. We call them the New Testament. And there are still deceivers and deceptions. The father of lies hasn't slowed down a bit. Still today, we have those who are deviating from the pattern. And undeniably, there is a day of destruction coming for the disobedient. Friends, today, let's learn the lesson of the young prophet. Obey the Lord and be faithful to His word unto death, and never allow ourselves to be swayed from the straight and the narrow way by the deceptions of this world.